Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
President-elect Barack Obama. Bless us so that we might follow and we might truly make the time when your kingdom might come here on earth.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want weddings.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself. For this war is for the soul of America.
I am absolutely convinced that culture wars are just so 90s. Their days are growing dark. It is time to turn the page. We want a new day.
I've often wondered about this particular commandment, you shall not covet. We just don't use the word covet anymore. It's not part of our parlance. What does it mean? I've been a Christian my entire life. I've been a pastor for going on 18 years. And I must honestly say that it was only in the last year or two that I really started to get a handle on coveting. Is it a big deal? St. Paul seems to say that coveting is the one that tripped him up on the whole law. It's the one that finally got him and pinned him on the entire law. So we're going to be talking in our Thursday's Pastor's Roundtable today about the commandment, you shall not covet. Now, it comes in the form of two commandments, but we're going to consolidate them into one. I think we can do that in an hour's time. We're coming to you live this Thursday, November the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next 2 hours of Issues Etc., first, our pastor's roundtable on the commandment, you shall not covet. And then in the second hour, Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest. We'll talk about the reported demise of social conservatism. Is it dead or is it merely sleeping? Peter Wolfgang will join us to talk about gay marriage in Connecticut, and then some audio open lines. There's a Texas pastor, a rather prominent one, who's encouraging his parishioners to have sex for 7 straight days and then come back to church and talk about it. He says it's really necessary that the church does this. In fact, he's going to make his announcement, I believe, from a bed in front of the church. He says God wants us to have sex his way. We'll listen to a story on that, and then we'll get your reaction to it during audio open lines in the last 45 minutes of Issues Etc., last half hour of Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, or you can email us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our pastor's roundtable today. Joining us by telephone from Hacienda Heights, California, where he serves Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, Pastor Bill Swirla. Bill, welcome back.
Good to be back, Todd.
And here in the studio, Pastor Steve Summerer is our guest. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, Illinois. Thanks for coming out and joining us in the studio.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be with you.
Bill, the first one goes to you. Come on. Coveting. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's simply something you want. And who cannot want things? After all, we're not Buddhists, we're Christians. What's wrong with it?
It almost seems un-American, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what keeps the whole economy going, we're told, is you're supposed to want more and buy more and consume more, and that's how it goes. I heard somebody, I think it was one of my profs, said once that this is one of those pieces of evidence that the law really does come from God, because what human being would have created such a command, and even kind of a double command. I think it's probably proper to treat 9 and 10 together as one. Exodus treats it that way, too. What this does, as fascinating, I think, is where the first commandment starts with the condition of the heart vis-a-vis God, fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You know, you hold your gods in your heart. The last commandment comes back to the same place, and it deals with the condition of the heart. And so where the heart is unbuckled from God, where it does not fear, love, and trust in God above all things, it now fears, loves, and trusts in things above God. And therein lies the essence of coveting. I think you also have to understand in terms of its opposite. I always look at what the gift is that the commandment is guarding, because inside the commandment there's always a gift. And the gift of God is this peace of heart, contentment, to be content in all things and in all circumstances, as Paul says. And I also think we underestimate the seriousness of coveting. You know, James says in James 4:2, you desire, you do not have, so you kill. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war. You know, James traces these acts of aggression and violence and all kinds of things that plague us in the world back to, again, the heart unbuckled from God and its desires that are not oriented around the things of God.
Pastor Sommer, what's the difference between simply wanting for something, that is kind of the natural desire for a thing, and sinful coveting, this evil desire described in this commandment?
I appreciate the reminder that there first from Bill that every one of the Ten Commandments is oriented around first. It flows out of the first one, and whenever we sin against any of the commandments, the root problem is our relationship with God, and every sin against God's Word is a sin against His first commandment. When I think of coveting, is it a sin to want to give your family a nice home, to keep the rain off your children, to give them a warm bed to sleep in at night, versus the sinful desire to live beyond our means, the desire to have what someone else, what everybody else has, and to kind of keep up with the Joneses? The reality of it is it's impossible for us to keep it completely separate, because even in my best desires, in my desire to give my family a nice home, there's going to be a part of me that drifts into that place where I'm coveting, where I want to have what I should never, where I'm not fearing and loving and trusting for God to provide all of my needs. I'm looking for the way to provide it myself. So coveting is the sinful desire. There's nothing in and of itself sinful about wanting to take care of your family. I would say in practice, probably most times, we drift into that anyway.
So, Bill, is this kind of the commandment that if the others haven't killed you yet, 1 through 8, these final two, the coveting commandments, will most certainly do you in if you look at them seriously?
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. That's the way Paul looks at it in Romans 7. You know, he looks at, he reflects on his life. He's a student of the Torah. He's trained as a Pharisee. He knows the Torah in terms of do's and don'ts, 613 of them. So he figures he's doing pretty good. In fact, in Philippians, he says he's blameless under the law. But he looks at Romans 7. He's reflecting on this, and he says, you know, I was doing fine. And he says, apart from the law, he said, you know, sin was just kind of laying dormant, and he was alive apart from the law. And then he says this law comes up. He discovered this law that said, do not covet. And now this is a dangerous sermon illustration. I don't recommend you try this at home. But I said, that's a little bit like telling a bunch of people in church, do not yawn. Because the minute you do, it's going to give rise to all sorts of yawning behavior. And that's precisely what Paul says the commandment, do not covet, does. He said, sin seizes the opportunity of the law and creates all sorts of covetous desires in him. And so these commandments for Paul provide the essence of what the law is up to amplify and make sin utterly sinful beyond measure, and it shows our futility under the law, that as you said, even if we kept all the others outwardly perfectly, this one, because it has no outward action, it's entirely an inward commandment. We are judged in, you know, the very thoughts and attitudes and desires of the heart. And this one nails us, because no sooner do you discover there's a commandment about coveting, you start to covet.
Steve, the way the light bulb came on for me about coveting, and I admitted up front that this is something that I really didn't grasp, I think, until about a year and a half ago. The way the light bulb came on for me was coveting, the difference between simply, hey, that would be nice to have, and coveting is I'm driving down the road in my car, and some guy is passing me in his car, and his car is newer, faster, more expensive, and much better looking than mine. And instead of just saying, hey, that would be nice, I say, jerk. I despise him because of what he has that I don't have. Is that how the neighbor fits in here?
I think that's a good means of self-diagnosis, if you will. If I'm looking at my neighbor and despising him and looking down on the gifts he has, rather than rejoicing with the neighbor and for the neighbor that he's able to that God's given him the means to provide these things for himself, that our hearts go, instead of looking at the gifts we too have, our heart turns against the neighbor and thinks ill of him. So I think that's a good way of diagnosing it.
Bill?
I think if I could add, you know, you also look at it again in terms of the opposite is contentment, you know, that's really the positive gift side of the thing. God wishes to guard with this commandment the gift of contentment. And the way I would see it to play on your question is, when a desire begins to intrude on the center, and the center is God's place, all the way back into Genesis, where's God in the whole business? He's in the center. You know, that's a garden is an organized thing. It's a concentric thing. So is the revelation. It's all concentric. You know, the tree of knowing good and evil, tree of life, it's all in the center. Whatever crowds into the center then becomes God for you. See, and that's where the real danger is. So when these desires, you want something, now become they become central in life. It's one thing to own a car. It's another thing to say, I've got to have that car. I'm willing to give up anything for that car. I live for that car. That car is you know, I would forsake, you know, house, home, wife, children, church. I'd do anything. And incredibly, some people then do. You know, as was pointed out, you know, when we begin to live beyond our means, pretty soon now we need that job that maybe takes us away from family in the evening, away from church on Sunday, and pretty soon now this inward orientation where something has intruded into the center now gives rise to outward actions that reveal it for the idolatry that it is. You know, Paul says greed is idolatry, and so it goes back to that first commandment, and idols always rob us of contentment. They always leave us in agitated, discontented states.
Bill Swirla is our guest, pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. Along with him, Steve Summerer, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, Illinois. When we come back, more on the commandment, you shall not covet.
Treasury of Daily Prayer is truly a treasure chest of devotional gems for church, school, and home.
Issues, etc. Regular guest, Pastor Bill Swirla, on the new devotional book, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
It is a great contribution to Christian prayer and devotion, bringing together scripture, devotional readings, psalms, and hymns into one book for pastors and people.
Find out more about Treasury of Daily Prayer at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling 1-800-325-3040.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc.
Pastor Donald Pritchard, Cynthia Carter, Zachary Split, Pastor Gary Elil, Pastor T.R. Speckman, Gary Gross, Maria Ogburn, Brian Ogburn, Barbara Christensen, and Terry Christensen. Thanks for your support.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the commandment, You Shall Not Covet. It's our Thursday's Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday, November the 13th. You can join us. Questions or comments are welcome. After all, I mean, someone has to occasionally interrupt Pastor Swirla. He's becoming very good at talking on the radio. I'll mention that in just a moment. 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-I-E, or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. Bill, before we get back to coveting, tell us about the radio show that you were co-hosting with Pastor Craig D'Onofrio, The God Whisperers.
Thanks for the plug.
Hey.
Yeah, God Whisperers. We're also on the web at godwhisperers.com. Strange show. It's basically two pastors conversing about almost everything. It's really three things. It grows out of our conversations over the years on Issues Etc. Although that's a little bit more structured. And Craig and my conversations while we waste time at pastors conferences, and Car Talk on NPR. So we wanted to call it God Talk, but that was taken, and so we came up with the God Whisperers. And we are basically talking the catechism, talking the hot topics of the church, and occasionally we'll have what we call a third microphone episode where we bring in a guest for an hour and make his life miserable. And it's a lot of fun. It's a little bit more irreverent than what you are doing here on Issues Etc., but we don't take ourselves quite so seriously.
Okay, I don't know how to take that. I honestly don't know how to take that, but I'll take it as a compliment.
You are a serious apologetics and issues show. We are a couple of doofus pastors talking to each other and recording it.
All right, then definitely a compliment.
Intended as such.
Folks, you can find the God Whisperers under the on-demand page of our website. We have a link right there, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, issuesetc.org.
And we are on Pirate Christian Radio, the same flagship or the same place where you guys are, too.
And all you got to do when you go to Pirate Christian Radio, piratechristianradio.com, you just look at their lineup, and you'll find God Whisperers there as well, and how to listen. Pastor Summerer, the desire in us seems to be inborn. The first words out of our mouths often are mine when we're very, very tiny. What is this where we are discontent, to pick up on a theme that Pastor Swirla introduced us to in the last segment, we are discontent almost from birth, perhaps even from before birth?
I think you pointed us early on, or maybe it was Bill, to Romans chapter 7 and Paul's own struggle. I know that in me, that is in my sinful flesh, there is no good thing. That sinful flesh that we're born with contaminates all of our lives. And it's from that initial sin, that original sin, that everything else originates and grows out of. And this coveting really is an expression of what original sin in and of itself is. It's turning the self inward instead of in being oriented toward God as He would have us to be in His first commandment. And as He makes us in baptism and when He calls us to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this original sin in us is given its great expression in coveting. At the end of the Large Catechism, Luther's treatment of the ninth and tenth commandments, he talks about coveting and calls it the root and cause of all the other sins. Well, I think he's just saying that it's the expression of what we're born into, our sinful nature, and what we need redeemed from, and Christ certainly is that Savior for us.
Bill, Dietrich Bonhoeffer has this great little book called Life Together.
That is a wonderful book. That should be required reading in all parishes and seminaries.
It's mostly about worship, but it's also about community, or really the church. Now, while I won't endorse everything that Bonhoeffer has to say in there, there's so much good. And one of the things I found in there where he talks about if human love is unmediated by Christ, then human love is always a desire to possess its object. I want to talk about that aspect of the commandment where we are forbidden to covet our neighbor's wife, manservant, maidservant, as Luther would have explained it. Why is it that people are in the mix, not just things?
You know, Bonhoeffer, I believe it's in that book, and also his other writing, Christ at the Center, he points out that if we are to coexist, if we are to have a life together, then Christ must get between us. In other words, he not only mediates between God and men, but he also mediates between us as well, and that we must deal with one another as ones who have been died for, as ones for whom Christ has atoned for our sins. And that, of course, then changes the perspective toward one another, and then by extension, it changes the perspective toward what each of us has. Too, and you see it in the commandment on stealing, that we're supposed to help our neighbor and support him in protecting his property and his income and that, because it is attached to the well-being of our neighbor, and this is one for whom Christ died. And so what happens with him and what happens with his household and even down to his animals, this is of concern to us too, and that we are a service to him in keeping these things and not working to try to pry them out of his hands and gain possession of them ourselves.
How is this commandment, Bill, different from, I mentioned at the beginning, Buddhism, where it says, you know, the source of all ill in the world is desire. And so the Buddhist says, fine, all I need to do is rid myself of all desire, which in the end means ridding oneself of the self. But how is this commandment different from the diagnosis that Buddhism has made on the human condition?
Well, Pastor Summer, I think, points it out well, is that it touches at the very heart of original sin, which, of course, you know, Buddhism would deny. And so, yeah, go ahead, rid yourself of desire. You know, I'll give you that assignment, Todd, and we'll check back tomorrow and see how it's going on the desire front.
I can already tell you how it's going to turn out.
Well, and if Paul's experience is normative, or at least if it's a good example, as he says in Romans 7, and anybody who tries to hold that position, I just recommend go back and read Romans 7 and Paul's autobiographical view of this. He really underscores it by making it his own. He says that this commandment killed him. This is the commandment that caused sin to spring to life and utterly destroyed him. And so yeah, go ahead, rid yourself of desire and see how it goes, because an original sinner with heart turned inward, self-oriented, is nothing but desire for self.
We've talked a bit about contentment, Pastor Summer. What does Paul say that when he says that this kind of contentment with godliness is great gain? And he talks about his own ability having been acquired after long years of knowing how, not necessarily being able to do, but knowing how to be content with little or with much.
He talks there about whether well-fed or hungry, whether with much or living in want. He's learned the secret of contentment. And I think that first and foremost for Paul and for every Christian genuinely flows out of the relationship that he has with Christ, that Christ established in him, calling him to faith. And that spills over, flows over into the rest of his life and how he views all the other things in his life, which have been radically transformed through the cross of Christ. If God's met this, his greatest and most dire need, in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, surely he's also going to take care of everything else that we need. We think of that the prayer that Jesus gives us to speak. The Lord's Prayer is a beautiful gift that Christ gives to his church. And he teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. That there is no, I've got to make sure I'm going to pray to God so he'll make sure I'm retiring well or that everything's good a year from now. But he teaches us to live each day in his promises. He teaches us to live each day trusting he's going to take care of me today. And that's contentment, but it's contentment that comes first from knowing there's an eternal future that's been secured in the cross and resurrection.
Folks, it's Thursday afternoon, November the 13th. We do want to hear from you on the commandment, you shall not covet. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. This email comes from Jen in Virginia. Bill, I'll give you about a minute to begin a response. She
says, that sounds like one of the God Whispers people.
might be. It says, the question is really about all the commandments, specifically this one. We struggle with coveting all the time. At the same time, while I'd really like that good-priced Chinese anwar, can hardly pronounce it, really, really wanted, I've plotted how to get money to buy it, she says, I still am in the Word and in church receiving the forgiveness of sins in word and sacrament. Could you talk about the commandments, especially this very internal one, in light of our status as saint and sinner? Isn't about it's a battle, isn't it? About a minute to begin a response, Bill.
Well, you know, if we're talking about the status before God, I mean, we're looking at all the commandments, and all the commandments go internal. We just don't see it that way. This is the one that has no external, so we're forced to talk about it. You know, the murder commandments like that. You're not even supposed to say a discouraging word or hate your brother. You know. You know, our status before God, thanks be to Christ, who, you know, has perfectly fulfilled the law, and he actually managed to walk through this world with us and not covet anything, which is kind of hard to imagine, but he did. He was like us in every way except without sin. And he atones for our lack of contentment by his atoning death on the cross. And just to add a bonus to all of it is that we, baptized into him and joined with him, share in that perfect contentment, which is actually ours in Christ, that this is our possession. And I would say that this is freedom. It's freedom to handle the material world and enjoy it.
All right, when we come back, more on the commandment, you shall not covet.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Carolyn Bass, Patrick and Carol Dahlman, Raymond Coffey, Walter Disson, Marianne Dooms, Pamela Polliard, Joan Schemberger, Jeff Dyrud, Jose Manuel Valle, and Donald Schemberger. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A pro-lifer has won another battle. This time, it's a sixth grade boy. A federal judge in Minnesota has signed a permanent injunction against Hutchison Middle School for punishing a young boy for wearing a pro-life t-shirt. The offending shirt read, "Never known, not forgotten." Real radical stuff, isn't it? The school singled the boy out for ridicule, removed him from class, forced him to turn the t-shirt inside out, and threatened him with suspension. The Thomas More Law Center went to bat for him and won the case. The school district had to pay the child nominal damages and attorney's fees. Considering other stuff public schools tolerate, this is nothing. Our thanks go to this sixth grader who's boldly standing up for life.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back. It's our Pastor's Roundtable. 25 more minutes, and then in the second hour of the program, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us. We'll talk about the reported, the alleged demise of social conservatism. Maybe it is dead. Gay marriage in Connecticut will be our subject with Peter Wolfgang of the Family Institute of Connecticut, and then some audio open lines. There's a pastor down in Dallas, Texas. He's encouraging his parishioners, challenging them, not requiring, but challenging his parishioners to have sex for 7 straight days and then to come back to church and fill out a questionnaire all about it. I wonder what it really is all about. Maybe just a midlife crisis? Who knows? We'll talk about it during audio open lines. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Bill, you said something before the break that I'd like you to put a bow on, if you would. You said that this commandment, understood properly, now in light of Christ's obedience to it and the freedom of forgiveness that it gives us, is freedom to handle the material world and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's that, you know, to the freedom to receive all the first article, all that's given in the first article, you know, that all that stuff, or what we pray for daily bread, to receive it all. And I'll borrow a phrase from my favorite bad boy Episcopalian, is Robert Farrar Capon, whose book, Health, Money, and Love, and Why We Enjoy None of These, or Why We Don't Enjoy These, or something like that. Health, Money, and Love. He has a great line in there, you know. He says that the reason we don't enjoy them is we make religions out of them. And the key is to hold these things with the dead hand of faith. You know, faith does not grab on. Faith just, you know, it's the empty hand of the beggar. And when God puts something into the empty hand of the beggar, it doesn't go and grab on and say mine, but it just enjoys the thing for what it is, and is also free to let go of it too. You know, that's the whole idea of giving. It's a little exercise in holding these things loosely. And in so doing, then we enjoy them. We don't strangle them. We don't make idols out of them. That takes the fun out of everything. When something becomes an idol, the joy is just sucked right out of it.
Pastor Summer, your thoughts on this, the sinner-saint dichotomy that we have before God, and how it bears upon this commandment, both as the prohibition, but also as showing us how to genuinely enjoy the good gifts that God gives us in this life.
Well, for us, it's living in a relationship and recognizing that that relationship exists and is sustained by virtue of God's work in Christ and the Holy Spirit's work in our lives that sends us out into the world. But we live each day of our lives recognizing that forgiveness is there, but there's an enemy there too with us, and it's our own sinful flesh that's raising its ugly head. And so we're constantly being driven to recognize that need for forgiveness, so we don't ever come to a point where now I'm a Christian, so I'm putting these things away and I'm advancing away, kind of lineally away from Christ and needing him less and less. I'm constantly in need of circling the cross because I'm constantly sinner too, a sinner that in my deepest emotions is always that hostile, that mind being hostile against God, and yet one in whom the Holy Spirit lives and is daily putting to death that sinful flesh as we repent of our sins.
Okay, the time always comes in these pastors' roundtables on the commandments when the personal question needs to be asked. And I'll start with you, Bill. How do you break this commandment?
How do I break this commandment? I'm glad we're talking about these two today. I'll tell you, I'm in the throes of a couple of bathroom renovations right now. So, you know, when it's, do we go with the ceramic floor or the marble floor? Gee, oh, marble, boy, that'd be great. Or probably I would say every Saturday when the looking at the sports section, the back of the sports section of the newspaper is where the big electronic store ads come out, you know, and so I can have more terabytes and more hertzes and all kinds of stuff, and I really need that, you know. I mean, I need that to be productive, and I can even justify it on religious grounds. And here I am, just kind of looking. I'm just busting full of electronics, and I got to have a few more. And plus, the TV set's looking a little fuzzy too. And all of these things, I don't care. No matter what I touch, whether it's out in the workshop and my power tools, get in my car and turn that thing on, it's always, gee, it's not as good as it could be. And man, I wish I had better. And to a certain extent, never stepping back and saying, wow, am I blessed? This is just unbelievable, the stuff, you know, what I have to work with and what God has given me and what I can do with it.
Okay, Pastor Summer, same question to you. How do you, the reason for this question is, in particular, in your own life, how do you break this commandment?
I would echo everything Bill said about the ninth commandment. I won't just cop out and leave it there, but I think all of those worldly things.
Did he just say I copped out?
No, I won't cop out there. I'll continue on, but to take it beyond even the ninth commandment things, which I am, I'm shameless in that way. So I'll plead guilty of not being content with everything that God's given me. But I think in the 10th commandment, a pastor in my relationship to a church, maybe this is confession time, but how often are we tempted to get frustrated with other people in our lives? Pastors to churches, congregations get frustrated with pastors, and the grass is always greener looking at someone else. Or, and I don't mean this in a confessional way, husbands perhaps wishing for a better wife or wife for a better husband, not being content with the relationships that God's given us. It goes well beyond just the things we want to the people. And I think I think in terms of those relationships, God's given these and established them. And the far better thing than desiring to think God's wrong and want better or want different is to pray, for instance, for a pastor, for a congregation, to pray for your congregation. If you want a better pastor as a congregation, pray for your pastor and lift them up to God, or husband and wife praying for each other.
Dennis and St.
Yeah, Todd, I've often thought that our whole call process, the whole means by which we move around and stuff, almost encourages this. You know, I read in the 10th commandment, help them to stay and do their duty. And, pastors are no less vulnerable in this than anything else. You know, I think we all would covet, a bigger pipe organ or a pipe organ or even, I don't know, whatever it is we want. You know, pews jammed full of smiling, pious faces, eager to serve and everything else. And so along comes this, one of these little come hither things, come be a pastor to us, and we'll treat you nice. And all of a sudden, then the congregation, you know, where you're at, where you're called, that's a known commodity. So that starts to look a little less attractive, and pretty soon, you actually court that. That's why I really wonder sometimes whether we run afoul of the 10th commandment with just this kind of open season on calling other pastors when they're not really in a position to be called. But maybe the other pastor could have a comment on that. No.
What do you think?
I far be it from me to reject
he's looking for a call, so he's not going to comment.
No, I'm very blessed by the saints there, Messiah and Carlisle. I would, if we extend that line of thinking into the 10th commandment and coveting of persons, I think one of the, and I don't want to take us beyond where you wanted to go, but I think one of the really dangerous things culturally nowadays is with the internet and pornography. And that's something a lot of us hear that pastors don't speak of very much, that is a hidden problem in so many people's lives, that pornography, and in particular the internet, people become enslaved to it, and it ruins marriages, ruins lives. But at the root of it, it's a coveting issue. At the root of it is not being content with what God's given us.
Dennis in St. John, Michigan says, please ask your guest pastors how a Christian can deal with being employed in an advertising agency. I think we all understand what the question is. Being in a business that is basically built around and designed to foster the breaking of this commandment. Bill?
Todd, I'm sorry. I got somebody knocking at my door here. Can you redirect it another set? I'll be right with you. Okay.
We'll just let Bill. Go ahead, Bill. Just go off. Go off. Do your duty. I'm encouraging you to stay or leave and do your duty. Let's talk about advertising. I mean, is it possible for a Christian in good conscience to work in an industry that runs on our desire for things we don't have, Pastor Summer?
I think so. I don't know. I can't imagine how. I knew it. Had a friend that was going into advertising, and she was still in college at the time and was preparing for that. And really, her faith meant much to her. And I don't know. There has to be a point at which, I suppose, with any vocation, that you're honest with the people you're working for, what you will and won't do, and where your standards are. And one of those standards obviously has to be being truthful in representing the product that you're selling. Does it do what you're saying it's going to do? Are you going to advertise it in such a way that sort of the beer commercial example probably leaps to mind, because you always see the swimsuit models and what have you. There's a careful line that a Christian would have to be very careful not to cross.
We're talking about the commandment, you shall not covet. Pastor Bill Swirla, I hope he's still with us. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. And here in the studio, Pastor Steve Summer, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, Illinois. I'll give you my experience since it was confession time a little bit ago. For me, it was yesterday driving in a rental car because our car, such as it was in the shop. And the rental car was a lot nicer than the one we own. And I must say, driving that car was difficult to do without saying to myself, come on, the one I've got? Maybe it needs replacing. I'm not entirely content. 10 minutes left for your phone calls and your email on coveting. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. 'Cause she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night. You know I wish that I had just his girl.
A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, with his thoughts on the return of Issues, Etc.
It's great to be with you guys on Issues, Etc. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again. It's always great to be with you guys.
We're Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, Issues, Etc. Listen live or on demand at www.issuesetc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Chris Bauer, Pastor Paul Johnson, Miles Whitener, Kristen Breeden, David Teagan, Doris Maletti, Mark Breeden, Michael Steele, Brian Schmeling, and Howard Lubeck. Thanks for your support.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues, Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Takes me back to younger, more confused times. But I remember the coveting. Oh, yeah. That's our subject. You shall not covet. Pastor Bill Swirla is our guest, along with Pastor Steve Summer, our Thursday Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday, November the 13th. When you go to church on Sunday, take something with you. A flyer from our website, issuesetc.org. Click sponsors. You'll find a flyer there that is all about the Issues, Etc. 300. Now, when you take it with you, hand it to your pastor or to some of the leaders of your congregation. And all you need to say is, shouldn't we think about becoming an Issues, Etc. 300 congregation? It's only $1,000 in your annual budget, and it's quite simple to do. The flyer will explain everything. You'll find that flyer again and how to talk to your congregation about becoming a member of the Issues, Etc. 300, issuesetc.org. Click sponsors. It's right there. Bill, you had to step away for a moment, but I still want you to answer the question. What do you think about Christians involved in the advertising industry?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was just coveting a copier that works, and so the copy machine guy was knocking at my door. advertising has really undergone a shift in focus, I think. Everybody who looks at it objectively has probably noticed. They used to sell a product on the basis of its merits. that is, you know, what's good about it and why you should buy this. And now it's sold on a basis of lifestyle or image, and you know, hence, you know, the Swedish bikini team. Well, you know, you can sell anything with that. I think it's got to create a vocational crisis for somebody in advertising who's also a believer and wants to extol that which is pure and holy and upright and true and everything else. My counsel would be to look at several perspectives. One is your work is in part a broader thing of your vocation, and so the person working in advertising is providing for family and you know, putting daily bread on the table and stuff. And that's not to say that any line of work will do, but I think you have to see it in the broader perspective. And then also to look at, you know, what are you selling, and also how is it being sold? Are things being sold honestly and with integrity and uprightness and in a way that extols what is beautiful and godly? I don't think that doesn't necessarily mean that advertising can't be funny, you know, or entertaining, and that I love some of the stuff that's done in advertising. It's very creative, but I think that you just have to ask yourself what are you selling and how are you selling it, and then to add one little thing that a free man, free person in Christ does not agonize real hard about this all the time. This really doesn't befit the free children of God to you know, we're concerned and we're always called to prove what the will of God is and that as we offer our bodies as spiritual sacrifices, but not in a way that is fearful or paralyzing like that steward that couldn't do a darn thing with his talent but hid it and wrapped it up. That's not a good way to live.
Okay, you mentioned this before, so I'm going to give you a crack at it, Bill. You mentioned Jesus going through his entire incarnate life here among us in his earthly ministry and never coveting. I mean, little baby Jesus not reaching out and saying, give me or mine. I can't imagine it. Or adult Jesus who had no place to lay his head, not occasionally thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have a soft pillow to lay my head on?
Mm-hmm.
And that other guy is a jerk because he seems to have plenty of soft pillows. Talk about Jesus' obedience.
Well, you know, for that very reason, we can't just simply cop out and say, well, gee, it's only human to covet. you got one who fully bears our human flesh and somehow managed to do this and yet fully enjoy and embrace all of creation as the Creator himself. So, you know, I don't have any truck with, you know, this anti-material thing. But you know, I have no idea. What I do know, though, is that this is the amazing thing about Christ, is you can have pure holiness walking around among you and not know it. He didn't glow. He didn't have some nimbus floating around his head or something. Until he was baptized, nobody knew who he was. And, you know, he's there doing his carpentry or whatever that business was and just doing it. And this is pure holiness in our midst. And so... you know, I have no idea, A, how one does that, or B, what it looks like. All I can do is be thankful to God that this perfect contentment is mine in Christ and my covetousness is covered by the blood.
Pastor Summer, your thoughts on Jesus' incomprehensible obedience to this commandment regarding coveting?
I think we look back to Matthew 4 and Luke 4 and Jesus' temptation in the wilderness and Satan in essence asking him to be a different kind of son of God than he actually is. Then his temptation is for Jesus not to trust in his Father to provide, for him to take into his own hands his daily bread, for him to bow down before the devil and give honor to him, to covet the kingdoms of the earth and to throw himself down from the temple. And there, in many ways, I think it's just a beautiful example of that perfect righteousness of Christ, and in particular here, in not coveting, being content to rest that God is going to give him everything that he needs. And yes, Jesus obviously is true God, but those needs were just as strong. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4 says.
Pastor Swirla, I want to talk about retirement.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about retirement.
This is how
my 401k disappears.
This is how I picture retirement in my most hopeful moments.
Uh-huh.
Enough to pay all my bills. I don't have to put in another hour's work any place. I don't want to be a greeter at Walmart. Health, contentment, waking up late every day, eating breakfast with my wife, sitting, watching the sun go down on the back porch and enjoying my kids and my grandkids, and great, great contentment. But something tells me that's not what retirement's going to be like, regardless of the financial situation. Do we ever hope for this kind of contentment that this commandment lays before us in this life?
You know, retirement is highly overrated. I have seen so many of the guys in my congregation, you know, just pining for retirement. Then they hit it, and they are just miserable beyond measure, and make their wives miserable too. I think it's highly overrated. And some of the things you describe, I try to do now, like, you know, have breakfast with my wife, and I think that's really kind of key. It's almost absurd to presume on the future, as James points out. You know, we don't write our calendars that way. That next year we're going to do this and that. But it's the moment. It's now, and it's that contentment now. Because frankly, we don't know how much time we have. We're in the end times of the church year, in the end times of the world, and you know, it's come Lord Jesus' time, and so all of that kind of planning for retirement, yeah, that's nice, but I think if it robs you of present joy, and especially the joy of your salvation, you know, the commandment's looming large and mirroring back to you something that needs to be confessed, unloaded, and dealt with the blood of Christ.
And Pastor Summer, finally for you, Scripture says, you do not have because you do not ask. And I wonder, for all of us, if we are to ask, how are we to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that not only will God provide for us regardless of whether we ask, but that when we do ask, he hears and he answers and gives us exactly what we need? How do we know that for sure, Pastor Summer?
The clearest way is when we look at the cross of Christ. We understand God's will most clearly and completely in the cross of Christ. This is what God's will and intent is for us, and it's to provide us everything, in especially the gift of eternal life. And when we see how much he cares about providing that most precious gift, how can we not also be filled with joy whenever we hear him say, come to me and ask for daily bread. Come to me, you who are weary, I'll give you rest. Come with all of our needs and realize that this same Savior that gave himself for us promises to hear. He promises when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, that he meets our needs.
Pastor Steve Summerer is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, Illinois. Thank you so much for coming over and being our guest this Thursday.
It's been a great pleasure, Todd.
Pastor Bill Swirley is a regular guest and pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. Hope your copier gets fixed.
It's on its way.
All right. Thanks for being our guest.
It's been great.
Folks, remember the God Whisperers. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, under On Demand. We'll have a link. You'll also find there some other resources on the Ten Commandments. We've had a very good Pastor's Roundtable, nine of them covering the Ten Commandments, and you'll find all those resources under the On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. In the next hour of the program, I want to hear from you on this Dallas pastor who's encouraging his parishioners to have sex for 7 straight days and then come back to church and tell him all about it. We'll hear that bottom of the hour next hour with some audio open lines. I want to hear from you. What do you think about it? Coveting is, what is it? It is the most elemental expression, as our pastors have said today, of what sin is. A genuine deficit. A loss and a lack of fear, love, and trust in the one true God, our Creator, and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what coveting is. It really is that elemental, psychological, emotional expression in our hearts of a lack of fear and love and trust, of sin. Thank goodness we have a Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc.,
P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.